Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word.
Well, good morning. Ray and I are sitting here in our home studio getting ready to talk to you in more depth about the ministry vision God has given to us. But first, Ray's going to sing us a song, and I know you'll be blessed. But, by the way, how are you, Ray?
Oh, man, I'm blessed. We are blessed. We're drinking these big Route 44s from Sonic. And, well, hey, God says that I am, and I believe what God says.
And that is that you're blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's good. And so what are you going to sing for us today?
I'm going to sing Casting Your Bread on the Water. So everybody get your rod and reel out, and let's go to casting.
Amen.
Never receiving anything from God at all. Oh, they are shaken in their believing. When they don't see results, they quickly fall. But don't you waver, you keep on living in the way God wants you to. Don't get this.
Praise the Lord. That was such anointing singing. Okay, we have a lot to cover and only a few short minutes to get it covered. So let's start by reading the ministry scripture found in Isaiah 61, 1 through 5. And this is the New American Standard Version. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former desolations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations.
And, Pam, of course we know that Jesus read from Isaiah in the temple in Luke 4:18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim and release those things to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. He set us to set free those who are oppressed of the devil."
Amen. Well, the first thing we notice in the writing of Isaiah in the 61st chapter is in the very first verse that says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." The New International Version reads, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me." You know, Ray and I believe the Spirit of the Lord God, or the Sovereign Lord, is upon us to fulfill the work of the ministry that we will be sharing with you the next couple of weeks. So let me encourage you not to miss these next few broadcasts.
Okay, folks, let's take a closer look at this phrase. The Spirit of the Lord God refers to Yahweh and refers to the presence of God, urging and enabling a person to a certain course of action. Usually, it's going to be accomplishing God's purpose in the world.
Amen. And, you know,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So as Raymond said about that phrase, that we're going to accomplish God's purpose in the world, we understand that the Spirit of the Lord God, or the presence of God, is urging and enabling us to this course of action. So we will accomplish God's purpose in the world. The next phrase tells us how we will be able to do this.
Okay, Pam, and we're going to be enabled to accomplish our course of action because he, the Lord, he's anointed us. Sure am glad, because I wouldn't want to attempt this vision without his anointing.
Amen. And, you know, when we speak of the anointing, we're speaking, well, let's look at the Nelson's Bible Dictionary for the definitions. Number one, anointing is to authorize or set apart a person for a particular work or service. Number two, in the Old Testament, it related to priests, kings, and prophets who were anointed. And at that time, oil was poured on the head of the person being anointed. And we like this last one, don't we, right?
Oh, man.
Is the term anointing also means to smear. In other words, not just a little dab will do you.
Hey, you know, we're going to smear you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, hey, and of course we know that in the New Testament, anointing refers to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It brings understanding, or he brings understanding. I talk about the Holy Ghost as a he. Let's read in 1 John 2:20-27. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know." Amen. Verse 27, "As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and it is true and not a lie. And just as he has taught you, you abide in him." So we find it in Easton's Bible Dictionary, published 1897, that the act of anointing was significant of consecration to a holy or a sacred use.
That's right. And so as we look further, we find that the anointing is the equipping by the Holy Spirit to get the job done. The anointing is not simply for personal enjoyment. It is always a mark of a mission, a commission, or a sending assignment. The anointing is what empowers us to do what the rest of Isaiah 61:1-4 commissions us to do. And you say, well, what is
Amen.
that he's empowered you to do? Preach the gospel, bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the broken heart, proclaim liberty to the captives, bring freedom to prisoners, release them from darkness, to comfort those who mourn, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord.
Okay, honey, here's what. We need the anointing to preach and speak forth the word of God with boldness and walk in the miraculous. As we are available to God and yielded to Him, we're going to see those mighty things happen.
Amen.
People are going to be getting saved.
Oh, yes.
They're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Healed and delivered.
Yes.
You know how much I love to read Smith Wigglesworth books. I want to read you a quote from the anointing of His Holy Spirit. Here's what he says. If you will allow the Holy Ghost to have full control of you, you're going to find you are living in the Spirit. You will discover that your opportunities will be God's opportunities, and you will find that you have come to the right place at the right time. Then the Holy Spirit will give you the exact words to speak, anointed words that will meet and the need of the moment.
That's right. Amen.
You know, Pam, we're going to be making a declaration right now that we are God's anointed ministers, set on fire for God, that our faith is activated, and we believe that His great and mighty power is burning in us, and our lives are being energized by His power.
Wow, you make me want to shout.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It is truly, as the Old Testament said, it is fire shut up in my bones.
Amen.
Well, Ray, you know it's not about us, but it's about Jesus.
It's about Jesus.
So now let's look at the things this anointing has enabled us to do. The first thing was to bring good news or preach the gospel, which has the following meanings. We're to bear the good news, we're to bring good tidings, we're to publish, preach, and show forth that good news. And when we do, it's going to gladden because of the good news. And it's going to bear the news, and we're going to announce salvation as good news.
Amen.
Or we're going to preach, and those who hear will be receiving that good news.
And I'll tell you what else we're going to do. We're going to be going to bring good news or preach to whom? We're going to preach to the meek, the poor afflicted, humble, weak, needy, the oppressed. The basic ideal is not just that a person is economically poor, but also that those who are powerless in their circumstances to do the things about their condition. Remember the example that Jesus set. Jesus ate with the outcast. He fed the hungry. He forgave the sinner. He loved his enemies, lived his life for others, and prayed for those who persecuted him. Guess what the Spirit-filled Christians do? They do the same thing. Jesus proclaimed God's love, forgiveness wherever he went, seeking to draw people to salvation. See, we want you to understand today that healing is for the emotionally based problems that have resulted from the damages of sin. The devil's what brings sickness. The devil brings emotional problems. God don't put that on you. The first step to begin this healing process is to become a born-again believer. It is a foundational to the healing process.
You know, that's really good, Ray, because if they've got to get a hold of the fact
Amen.
That it's foundational to the healing process. You know, people can't fully heal emotionally until they experience His forgiveness
Amen.
And the new birth that He offers. Did you know that unforgiveness is a root cause of ongoing feelings of condemnation and detrimental to the healing process? So to fully experience healing emotionally, we must receive forgiveness from God, forgive ourselves, and forgive others. You know what, Raymond? Jesus' death and resurrection provides the only real basis for forgiveness and becoming a new creature in Christ. So you see, it's not coincidental that God's offer of forgiveness was directed first toward the poor in spirit. But everyone needs forgiveness. But people who have experienced poverty in any of its forms are usually more aware of their need for help and forgiveness. The ability to acknowledge and receive forgiveness as a free gift from God through Christ is the starting point for healing and restoration.
Amen. Folks, isn't this a good lesson? I'm going to tell you, y'all need to get a hold of this today. The next thing that the anointing enables us to do is to bind up the brokenhearted. Notice the term, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. That phrase, to he sent me, is interesting. The meanings are, number one, get this down, to send and to stretch out. Number two, to stretch out, extend, direct. Number three, to let loose. So we have been sent to stretch out, extend, to let loose, or bind up the brokenhearted. So let's look at the phrase bind up, to wrap around with something so as to enclose or to cover. We'll say a bandage, okay? To protect, see, what we're doing, we're protecting and strengthening them, amen? And then notice what the broken means. It means breaking pieces. It means to wreck, crush, or quench, to be broken, be maimed, be crippled, be wrecked, and then be crushed, and to shatter. And then the last one, be shattered.
So, Raymond, if we were to add the words hearted to broken, you would have broken hearted. Let's take a minute to look at heart. The heart is the inner man, the mind, the will, the heart, the understanding, the inward parts, the very midst of all things, the heart of man. The mind, the knowledge, our thinking, our reflections, our memories, our inclinations, our resolutions, our determinations. It's the conscience.
Amen.
It's the heart of our moral character. It's the seat of our appetites. It's the seat of emotions and passions. And it's also the seat of courage.
Uh-huh.
So if you put the meaning of broken with these, then you understand why the brokenhearted need to be bound up with a covering.
Amen.
And that covering is the precious blood of Jesus.
Wow, the precious blood of Jesus. See, Pam, brokenhearted refers to people who have been deeply hurt. They're wounded in the heart. Man, when you're wounded in the heart, you're hurting, see, and in the need of substantial healing. And taking our hurts directly to Jesus will do what, folks? It promotes the healing. Wounded people need a safe environment where they can feel protected as they express their hurts. And they receive validation from caring, loving, spirit-filled friends, peers and mentors. Body of Christ, that's where we come in. Amen. This is one phase of our ministry vision. More on that later.
You know, now that we have broke the brokenhearted bound and covered, we find that we are also enabled by the anointing to proclaim liberty or freedom to the captives. When we proclaim, what are we doing?
Amen.
We're calling, we're calling out, we're reciting, we're reading, we're crying out, we're proclaiming. We're making a loud sound.
Yes, we are.
We listen to those that are crying for help. And we're calling out with the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We're reading aloud. We're summoning.
Hallelujah.
We're inviting. We're calling for. We're commissioning. We're appointing. And we call. We name. We give a name to it. We call by a name. It means to be called, to be proclaimed, to be read aloud, to be summoned, to be named by, to be called out, to be chosen.
Woo.
So you say, well, what are you proclaiming about? We're proclaiming about liberty.
Liberty.
And what is liberty? It's the quality, I love this, or the state of being free.
Amen.
It's the power to do as one pleases. It's the freedom from physical restraints. It's the freedom from arbitrary or despotic control. It's the positive enjoyment of various social, political, or economic rights and privileges. Or we would say it's the power of choice. It's also a right or the immunity enjoyed by prescription or grant. In other words, it's a privilege. And it's the permission to go freely within specified limits.
Amen. Boy, that old liberty.
Amen.
Think about that old Liberty Bell, folks, hanging over there in Philadelphia. It had a big crack in it. Think about the veil of the temple of Jesus when it was rent from top to bottom. Man, he cracked that thing and it went down by the Spirit of God. And he made a way of you to have liberty and justice for all. Amen. So who are we proclaiming liberty to? To the captives. You don't have to be a captive anymore to the devil. Amen. But before we get into proclaiming liberty to the captive, we're going to stop here and present our ministry vision. Now, folks, listen real carefully. Our vision consists of three areas. Pam and I received this a few years ago. The beginning phase, which we are now in, is radio broadcast, public meetings, seminars, and etc. Of course, the name of this ministry is Victory in Living Ministries. We also have a website where you can go and view our calendar. You can see the speaking schedules, the new music releases that by myself, and copies of our broadcast from Pam, and as she edits these and get these ready. You will also be able to order products and give contributions on this site. Of course, a long-term goal here is to have our own streaming video on the web and a television broadcast. This phase is formed under Isaiah 61, Luke 4, 18 through 19, and Ephesians 4. We are also expecting the Lord to open the door to purchase property for this ministry.
Right. That is just the very smallest tip of the vision. The next phase will be the ministries of restoration. And there will be a place called the Strong Tower Housing based on Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe.
They're safe.
This will be a place for ministers who need a time away for spiritual renewing to come. It will be a very special place prepared, especially for them. More to come on that in the future.
Amen.
In this same phase, we will have an outreach and street ministries with an area called the City of Refuge Housing based on Isaiah 58 and 12. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the bridge, the restorer of streets in which to dwell.
Amen.
We will also make available Christian counseling in this phase. Last but not least, in this phase, we will also have a place for a disaster relief distribution center based upon Matthew 10 and 42.
Amen. Praise God.
And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward.
Amen. Amen. Folks, listen real carefully. Don't forget about the website. You can get a lot of information on our website, okay? Amen. So, hey, baby, I know that's a big vision, but it still gets bigger still. There is a third phase, and this phase will be called the Ministry's Clearinghouse, and it's based on Ephesians 4. It will be a place where the fivefold ministries will be available to the body of Christ as needed. There will also be ministerial training based on 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Amen. Be diligent, it says, to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. This phase will consist of training missionaries, domestic and foreign. While preparing for the mission field, there will be a living quarters called the Tent Makers. There will also be a Bible school or a school of ministry and Christian counseling training. There will be a Christian school for the missionaries and ministers' children. And finally, there's going to be a housing for the Christian school students whose parents are in a ministry situation where they cannot be with them. This will be called the Father's House.
Yes, right. It's a big vision. But all God has had us do is write that vision. As he told us in Habakkuk 2, 2 and 3, to write it, make it plain. So let's read what that scripture says. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end or fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day.
Okay, Pam. Amen. Have you enjoyed this lesson today?
I have, Ray.
Oh, I'm telling you. Our challenge to you is pray about this vision. Put it in prayer time. See if the Lord talks to you about becoming a part of this vision by becoming a partner with us. We are really excited about His call. Are you? And we love you, and God does too. So next week, we will talk about the blessings of partnership.
Amen. And here's our answer to tell you how to get in touch with us.
It's that time again. Time to say goodbye. But before we do, let me invite those of you who have not received Jesus as your personal Savior to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says in Acts 2:21, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I am calling on you. I pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart and be Lord over my life according to Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I do that now. I confess that Jesus is Lord, and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now declare, I am now reborn. I am a Christian, a child of Almighty God. I am saved. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Please visit us at our website at Victory in Living Ministries. Again, all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, according to Numbers 6:24-26.
Never receiving anything from God at all. Oh, they are shaken in their believing. When they don't see results, they quit.